So we have taken the first steps toward breaking off from the United States and starting our own Western alliance with a few states. There are some people that are claiming this pact about opening states kind of in a systemic manner with an agreement between a couple of states is unconstitutional. Would you agree with that?
I would not agree with it, but it's not as if there is no basis in fact for making that assertion. I mean, the Constitution does say that the states are precluded from making treaties or compacts amongst themselves, but I think we got to look towards what that meant at the time and the construction that was meant there, and what that is formal agreements and treaties amongst themselves and with other nations, not sort of a non-binding, non-enforceable agreement between the two. Because the reality is, states have all kinds of agreements amongst themselves in a legal basis. Almost every state will honor judgments in other states, and that is through statute. In each of those individual states, most of those states have a uniform statute that says if you adhere to and honor our judgment and our subpoenas, we will honor yours. And so I think the number is up in the 40s of the 50 states will honor judgments obtained in any of the other states, and there's also a uniform subpoena law that almost every state has signed on to that I can issue, even though my case is in Nevada. I'm a Nevada lawyer. If I need California-based documents, I can go through a process and have my Nevada subpoena honored in the state of California. So there is constitutional language that says there is that states are precluded from entering into treaties or compacts, clearly in the practice, there is precedent for, I'll say, agreements which are not seen as compacts or treaties.
If someone were to file a suit and say, you know, this is unconstitutional, you can't do this, you can't enter this kind of agreement, would a counter be, well, the president went on TV and said all the states are on their own, and so we're trying to figure this out, you know, together. The federal government already kind of, you know, shipped responsibility to us to figure this out.
Nope. It would require, if it was seen as a compact or a treaty, which I don't think it is, but let's say for argument that it was, under the Constitution, the only way that the states are allowed to do that is by consent of Congress. So not the president, the executive branch has no say over whether or not that's okay or not.
We are also seeing the lawsuits begin against states for having these stay-at-home orders and, you know, people being forced to stay at home or not have their businesses open. How much merit do some of these suits have?
I think that they have merit. I mean, the reality is, in a lot of places, there is not a lot of jurisprudence. There's not a lot of state history and authority of legal challenges to the emergency powers exercised by the governors in those states, or local county or city municipalities about what they're able to do. Most of the time you're going to see the governors, and that's true of here, point to statute that gives them the authority to exercise these powers. But we all have to remember that statutes do not trump Constitution. And so the rights granted in the Constitution must be adhered to. And even if statute is created that gives those rights to the governor, here's the rule. If you're affecting a fundamental right of the people through statute, you can affect fundamental rights. You can restrict fundamental rights, but the standard is it must be narrowly tailored to promote a strong public policy. And so, yes, we have a strong public policy here. There's a pandemic. We need to protect the population. But were the orders narrowly tailored when affecting fundamental rights in a manner to protect that state? I guess the question is, are there less restrictive means to obtain the same public policy? And I think in some instances, the answer to that may be yes.